just right in the center.
Right, it's that little red dot.
Yeah, just push it in.
Okay. Stand by. Record. Good evening.
Make sure you're centered in front of the park place.
I am, I think.
He's centered.
Okay, so good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
So, boy, a lot's happened since we were together in August. So I had decided, since we had so much teaching in August, and then, of course, Tony and Martha were in Jacksonville in September, that probably was enough for those 2 months. And then I had sort of a surprise, I don't want to say emergency, but I had a surprise trip to China for almost 3 weeks that I needed to take. And when I got back from that trip, by October was almost gone. So here we are, though. We're back again in the studio, as Jocelyn calls it. So we love that. So people have been writing and wondering if we were having meetings because they were missing the messages. So here we are. We're back. And so hello to everybody and all those in Australia. We're glad we're with you. And so, as I have been doing ever since we started these meetings last October, what I'm going to share with you tonight begins with what we ended with last time, so that if you're hearing anything that doesn't make sense, it would be good to go back to previous recordings to understand maybe even some of the terms or some of the definitions. So we, each time we get together, we move towards a greater degree of reality. And what happens when our understanding develops is it most of the time will change some things we knew before. And sometimes it can appear like some of the understanding we had even a month ago or a year ago or 2 years ago, we find isn't reality anymore. And sometimes it can sound contradictory. And so what we have to do if we're going to grow is we can't hang on to the things that we've understood with our mind. And it's really important to let go of all that we think we know each time we come together, because there are times that will block the new revelation. And I don't want to do that to you. And it really is a key, because whenever I come to share, I really don't want to waste anybody's time and try to say that I know something and I've got it all figured out, because I don't. I don't have it all figured out. But what I know with what I'm hearing today is changing my understanding, and I know that it's improving. I know it's getting better. When you're pointed towards the light, why, it keeps getting brighter. And I've discovered, as we're getting closer to understanding what reality is, that the darkness that we were in was darker than I thought it was. And Scripture says, you know, that we were in darkness, and how great is that darkness? And to me, you're not really going to understand how great the darkness was until you get to the end of it. And so we might still have a foot dragging in darkness. I don't want to say I don't, because I might. And does that mean we're dwelling in darkness? Well, that sounds judgmental, so I'm not sure I want to say that. But I think what it does mean is that any old manna we've had before has got to be released. And so we're growing into reality, which is what we already are. We already are that thing we seek. We already are the love of God. We just have some things that sort of stand at the gate and block that off. And what are those things? Well, it's our senses communicating with our mind. They're always standing at the door and blocking our understanding. And so that's why we have to let go of what we think we know, because most of the time when we do get understanding, as we're out in the world, we begin to apply what we know to circumstances around us. And we can't do that because it starts to pull us back into the darkness again. So I remember Kathy saying in Australia a couple of years ago that we sort of go in and out. You know, we sort of go in and out. But I thought of an analogy that sort of helps us with that. And I'm not saying that the word game and talking about a game is maybe the best analogy, but I sort of liked what happened at the end. And with what we've understood about the fact that all of us are God's children, it's important to realize that we're in, I guess what I would call a game of life, and we're all players. And what I was thinking is, wouldn't it be wonderful to play in a game and not know the outcome, but that the outcome was always sure? And everybody got the same reward. I mean, because usually we play games where competitive and there's a little bit of quibbling. But I think Jesus summed it up in his parable with the hired servants. When he had hired a person and paid them a certain amount to work all day. And then at noon he went back and he hired another one and he said, I'll give you the same amount to work half a day. Then he went at the last hour and hired another one and gave him the same thing to work an hour. And so what does that say? Well, God's not a respecter of persons. And it doesn't matter what we're seeing out here or what's happening in our lives. And the thing that I want to really bring home tonight, and I'm going to repeat this again because we've got to hear it, we cannot measure who we are or measure what we know by what happens to us.
Amen.
We can't. And for anyone, and I've heard, even in listening to some of the people that I know and trust, a movement back into a works righteousness, because there's nothing that we can do that affects us winning the prize. It doesn't matter if we plow, if we're out playing the game of planting corn and our row's the crooked one. He didn't stump come and hire us and said, come and work for me, but if you plant a crooked row, you're not going to get paid. That's how we do things. But that's not how God does things. And he says our ways are much higher than his. Well, how much higher are they? And they're so much higher that there isn't anything we can take from this world and what happens in this world and compare it to our heavenly realm. There isn't anything. So when things come into our lives that cause us to wonder if something's wrong, that's not coming from God. It never comes from God. It comes from our senses and previous misunderstandings about a God that rewards and punishes. And it's been so dominant in our lives, and we've been taught it since we've been teeny-weeny. As soon as you're born, the first words you hear is, be careful. Well, be careful for what? But that's what we hear. Be careful and watch out for this and look out for that. And, you know, and I mean, pray for this and pray for that and pray for your safety and pray that you have a good trip and pray you don't choke on your food and whatever else it is, you know. And all of those systems of belief are about protecting us from something that's not real. And so it's so ingrained in us that when things happen to us, we think there's something wrong with us. And so then we've been impelled to go pray to a God to fix it. And sometimes it can seem on the level of appearances like maybe he's answering sometimes. But I think most of us can raise our hands and say we've been pretty frustrated with the results of all that. Because I remember trying to sell some equipment once, and I had an amount of debt I had on this equipment. It was heavy equipment. And I was going to a charismatic church at the time, and boy, we were just praying the devil out of everything and praying for God for cars and everything else. Well, God, you know what I owe, and you've got to give me the amount, because I took them all to auction. I said, well, God, I know you're going to give me just the right amount to pay those off. And so I signed a slip in faith that it was a non-reversible auction. I said, yeah, I know, it's going to come in right, you know, to the penny, you know, because God's watching everything that's going on. And it didn't happen. Didn't happen. And I remember at that moment, I had already left the organized church at that time and was going to Bible school at Marilyn Hecke Bible School. But anyways, I remember being so disappointed that I started cursing at God, you know. I said, why would you not give me enough money to pay the bills off? Am I supposed to pay my bills? And it didn't happen. And I started to realize, I began to realize, we can never judge spiritual attainment by appearances at any degree. And so so my ears have been really tuned to that sense. And I continue to hear it and to see it, certainly without judgment, but I'm saying we really need to visit this again a little bit and understand what heaven is. And first of all, heaven's a place of non-judgment. There's no judgment there. And so last time we were together, we talked about what is reality. So I want to just start there with just a little piece and move on in to the heavenly realm. And then tomorrow we're going to talk about power, because there's some confusion there that I think we need to clear up. And so I want to encourage you to not be confused. That's really what I want to do. I don't want to tell you what to do. I just want to encourage you so that confusion becomes less and less and the truth becomes more clear. And so if we can't find ourselves, if you remember, we talked about this when we talked about what is reality. And I said, if we can't find ourselves right where we are at this moment, we're never going to find it. Because no one has ever succeeded in living in the future. So there's absolutely no success there, because it isn't reality. So what is reality? And I don't think we know what that means real clearly. So how do we live in the future? Well, it's by desire. And that sounds like a right word, because we're told all the time we need to desire the kingdom of God, right? But we're dwelling in a realm where we're seeking something that we don't have. That's living in the future. And so we're not satisfied. And we think something's wrong. That's not heaven. And we're going to find out in more detail what that is. So looking for a good tomorrow is an illusion. It's never going to get better tomorrow, because we never get there. And so we say that. I don't want that to be a cliche. We need to go out and see, what ways am I thinking that cause me to say tomorrow is going to be a better day? Is there things that I'm saying? Is there things happening in my life that are pulling me away from that reality? Because God's not in a time zone, and he's in a place that never changes, and in a place where there's no such thing as time and space. And so we'll talk about again what righteous judgment is, but when he said he was our Savior, he didn't mean it was optional. He already is the Savior of the world. And everybody's saved, and everybody's played the game, and everybody's won. They just didn't show up with their lottery ticket. They were off on vacation when the number was called, right? And they still don't realize they got the winning ticket yet. That's all. But that's not a sin. But everybody's got a winning ticket. Everybody's won the jackpot, and they just don't know it yet. And so we don't judge them. We try to encourage them and try to help them. And that's difficult at times when all we look at by the senses, by what we see and hear, says the opposite. It can be difficult. So we are in this world, and there's this picture we're getting is never going to change. So we're going to talk more about that. I'm trying to jump to the end, and I got to wait because I want to give it all to you in two sentences, and I can't do that. So what is reality? Well, we know that it's changeless, which means there's no variation. Well, there's variation in between my ears all the time. And it can be confusing. But when you start to clearly see the difference between fleshly understanding and spiritual revelation, you begin to know the difference. And you begin to realize, you know, if I'm frustrated now, or I'm anxious now, or I'm not in peace and joy and gentleness, I'm not understanding that pure wisdom that James talked about, because he said the wisdom from above is first pure. Well, to say something is changeless, that's a pretty secure thing, isn't it? Nothing ever changes. That's secure. That's something we need to get a hold of. So instead of just go around and say that all the time, what are we believing in that looks like it's changing? See, that's, we turn that inside out, and that's how we get victory over it. And we confess that, because we don't want to hang on to our death, because that's what everybody's doing that's running around here. They've gotten a ticket for eternal life, but they're promoting and defending and supporting this death philosophy. That's why Jesus said, let the dead go bury the dead. Well, that sort of shocks you, and it didn't sound very nice either. But that's what he said. So this realm is a realm of darkness. This world is darkness. And so we've got to quit trying to change the world and judge the world. Because when we do that, we become part of the system. When we look out and say, this is wrong and I wish this would get better. It's just never going to happen. And so we're going to clear up some of the reasons why. So I wanted to start by giving you a picture of where are those who have left this world of appearances? And what are they experiencing at this moment? We've got a wonderful friend named Liz Carl, a young girl, 31 years of old, who left us. And Tony's had many friends recently. And they were deeply grieved when I went to Australia. And this was one of the reasons why I talked about the tree of the judgment of good. Because we're running around saying this shouldn't happen and that shouldn't happen. And oh, that's so bad. And why is this happening? And we're perplexed by those things. And it creates anxiety and fear in our lives. That's the good judgment. What's wrong with telling somebody, I'm sorry that you're suffering or that you've got cancer or all those things? Well, at this level, that's okay. But we have to know inside that they've got the winning ticket to the lottery, to the jackpot. And that is an eternal life ticket. And whether they stay or go, it doesn't matter. And I'm going to tell you why it doesn't matter. You're going to see clearly why it doesn't matter. So here I want to read the description that John wrote at the end of Revelation and use it as a platform for how we're going to proceed through some of this understanding. And John said, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, which is pure understanding, flowing out from us, right? And we're not holding it in. A river of, and water of light. It was clear as crystal. It means there was no misunderstanding. It was clear as crystal. Proceeding out of the throne of God and out of the Lamb. Well, guess who the throne of God is? Everybody raise your hand. You are the throne of God. You. It was proceeding outward. It wasn't anything anybody could get. You can't get it if it's coming from inside out. And we don't understand that. You can't get that. You can't reach out and say, I want some of it and eat it like a candy bar. Okay, we got to understand that. This river is flowing. And when our minds get rid of all the fuzzballs and cotton wads and everything else that's up in there, it starts to become clear. And we think that if it's a process, it means something wrong with it. But God doesn't live in time. He sees every one of you already in. That's all he can see. He doesn't see anything that defiles or makes a lie. He doesn't see any of that. So, in the midst of the street of it, and on the other side of the river, there was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yield her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were the healing for the nations. Now, the word healing has nothing to do with anything physical. It has nothing to do with healing a body. We can't look into the scripture and try it to apply it to a personality, right? We can't do that because it's not talking to a personality. Jesus said, my personality can't do anything. He kept saying it over and over again. So the healing, and when we read scripture, it's talking about healing. Well, it's talking about what it just said in the two verses before. The healing is seeing that the water is flowing is clear. That's what it's saying. That you will see the clarity of this truth that flows out from you. That's the healing. And it doesn't matter if your body feels good or not. It has nothing to do with it. Now, there's people that said that as you attain more spiritual understanding, it means you won't have problems. And I'm telling you, that's a lie. It is just a flat-out lie. It's just fairy tales to say that as you get more spiritual understanding, you'll have less problems in this world. Because this is not heaven. It's a world of appearances. It is a world of appearances. That's never going to change. So if we're going around and saying, boy, God's really blessed to me because I did trip over the curb and I didn't kick the cat and I didn't have a flat tire. And then the week later, your husband comes home and yells at you and you got a flat tire and your battery's dead. Well, what are you going to do with that? You aren't going to talk about that, are you? You're going to deny it. Because you grabbed a hold of this other so hard that you're just going to deny that other stuff happened. And that's what all the church is doing today. They're all pretending they're righteous. They're all pretending to be righteous and denying that most of them are taking Prozac and they can't live in this world because there's no such thing as life in this world. It's a death realm. And we got to quit trying to screw heaven on to this world of appearances and call it heaven because it's not heaven. And it's never going to be. So, I know that might not make too much sense, but as we get to the end, if like you say, if we keep building on this, it'll keep making more sense. What I'm trying to do is help deliver us from the judgment of this world. Right? That's where the victory's at. So, the healing of the nations. Now, I've heard it said that, okay, we're going to get spiritual healing. Well, spiritual healing is a contradictory in terms. Because the only spirit you got is God's and it don't need healed. Okay? It don't need anything. It already is all that you are. It already is righteous and it doesn't need anything. So, spiritual healing is an oxymoron. And it's confusing. Because it makes us want to go back and think that something needs to be changed. And we cannot produce anything that has any value by judging what's going on in this world. So it's just withdrawing from a realm of judgment. It doesn't. If you've already got all things for life and godliness, then there's nothing more you can get. So, to me, it's a term I really struggle with using. I don't even like the word health, healing. I don't like it because it's talking about something needs to happen. you know. And we have to realize that we're never going to get victory until we realize nothing needs to happen. Now, that doesn't make a lot of sense to this. But as long as we think something needs to happen, we're going to be out trying to change stuff all the time and fix stuff all the time. Then we're pulled back into the realm of appearances and we begin to judge again and start measuring everything by these systems of belief that we have. And he said, "And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." Well, we can't reign forever and ever if we think there's problems. Nothing's ever out of order. So in this realm where these people have went before us, those that we love, I'm going to start describing it, okay, to you from what I've seen. This by no means is this all of it, but it's what I know is true, at least today. And so it's a purely spiritual realm where nothing defiles or makes a lie. And Romans 14:7 says that pretty clearly. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So whatever feeling you're getting in this realm, it's peace and joy. So if we're not feeling peace and joy, we're not there. But that's all our loved ones and those that we've known can feel, because they're now absent from the body. And they're in a realm where all they can feel is peace and joy. That's all they can know, because there is nothing else. There's no judgment of outer appearances, because all they can see is light. Nothing human dwells there, because you are not your own. And when I say you are not your own, I'm saying you don't own a thing, and you've got nothing to do with who you are. We were created as his offspring. He didn't call us up and ask us first. He didn't call me up and say, "Mike, do you want to be a child of God? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own?" So we don't possess anything. You can't own anything. You can't hang on to anything, because you're spirit. Spirit doesn't hang on to anything that we can see. And we know there's many scriptures that talk about that. To let it go. To not resist, to take no thought. Here they are absent from the body. 2 Corinthians 5:18 says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Well, that can happen right now. If we don't listen to our body, if we don't let it preach to us, that can happen right now. Now, it can be difficult to dwell there all the time, but it doesn't change reality. So we know they're absent from the body. So if we find ourselves home in the body, we turn our attention away from our own Father. So if we get comfortable with this and we start to measure spirituality by whether I've got an ache or pain or whether I've got a disease or whatever it is, it pulls us away from this reward, from this ticket we've got that says I've already won. We follow the body. There's no time or space or present, and there is only that now of salvation that reigns, which all that there is has to be available to us right now, because there is no future. It's not something we're going to get tomorrow. We might understand more of it tomorrow, but we still have the ticket. We've still got it. It says get out of jail free, collect your, we'll say it's $2 million. It's all. So in Revelation 21, it says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." And where it says there's no more sea, it represents that there's no more humanity. There is no such thing as man. So finally people got it. Finally people read their ticket that said, you are not a human being. You are God's child, and you have won. And I sent this to you before you were born.
Yeah.
You just never read it. But you had it before you were born, because he said, before you were born, I made you holy. Well, born to what? All of the imaginations of the mind. It's your mom and dad told you to be careful. You didn't tell yourself to be careful. And so we can't blame them, because their parents told them the same thing. Right? But here we are now. We've gotten the ticket. Before we were born, we were holy. We just forgot to remember. And so he said, I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with man. So that tabernacle is undefiled. So it has to already be complete and exist now. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give of him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. Well, when's he going to do it? He already did it. This is a history book I'm reading from, by the way. This isn't eschatology. This isn't future, because there is no future. All these things are already done. And I remember Walter Lanyon saying, everything that you will ever do is already done. And so you can rest in that and quit trying. Now, does that mean we're going to sit around and just veg out on a couch? No, I haven't been less busy. I don't know about you, but I've been pretty busy. But I'm not focused on the results of that busyness anymore. I'm withdrawing more and more from judging the results of what's happening around me, knowing that I can see this ticket. I've pulled it out and I've started to read it. Maybe I'm not to the end yet, right? Maybe I haven't read it all. Maybe we're going to find out there's more on it. It could be a book. But at least I've opened up and I've recognized it, and I see it now. And it starts out, you're a winner from God. You've won. Go to door number 3, you know. So, and maybe we haven't opened that door yet, but at least I've been told I've won, and I know I'm a winner. And as soon as I go to bed, after I've read it, and go to work, because I don't have my slip in front of me all the time, I mean, maybe we ought to get a little halo band that goes out with a little clip on it. We can keep it in front of our eyes all day long, but it doesn't change it. So nothing that happens to you changes reality. Nothing. That's hard for us to understand that, because there's a lot happening out there, right? It's a lot. So, this place, this heaven, is a realm where nothing's out of order. And we just read in Revelation 21 that God shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Former what? Former understandings. False beliefs. Egocentric ideas. Vain imaginations. Dreams. Those have all passed away. So if you've got any aspirations, it should be just to be loving to the person you're next to. And I think Kathy, I don't know if you all heard Kathy's message. Did everybody hear Kathy's message? She says, well, we've got to learn to be in love at home before we can worry about our neighbor. And we're supposed to love our neighbor, but right now your neighbor's your spouse. So if you can't do it there, how can you do it at the one down the street? Right? So, and Diane really heard that and was, you know, I started getting my coffee a little quicker the next morning. That was nice, you know. So I like that, you know. He says, wow, I got a, my neighbor's my husband right now. I work on my neighbor, yeah.
Yeah.
So, do we understand the dynamic of realizing that heaven is a place where nothing's out of order? Nothing. But what are we seeing when we let our senses talk to our vain imaginations? Everything's out of order. How can, have we went a whole week and never thought anything's wrong? Just a week or a day? Have we went through a day and realized nothing's wrong? Nothing's out of order? Nothing needs to be fixed? Nothing needs to change? And wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. Because at the end of the game, between here and there is a straight line. But what do? We're going this and this way and that way and this way. And, you know, well, I thought God was in this, but he wasn't. And he wasn't in that. And we're judging it all the time, right? And we're thinking that bad things shouldn't happen to good people. That's another lie. Because there aren't any bad things that happen, and there aren't any good people either. And there are not any bad people. So the whole thing's wrong. This realm, my friends, and I'm jumping ahead again, I'm going to wait. There's no history where they're at. This is wonderful. There's no memory where they're at. No memory. I'm telling you, listen to me. They remember nothing about this life that had anything to do with discord in this realm. Anyone who was murdered, anyone who was in a car accident, anyone who was defiled in any way by anyone or anything has no memory of anything that happened to them in this realm. Nothing. How could we ever be so perverted to think that someone who murdered people, God's got them all in heaven and they still remember everything and they're ready to lynch somebody because of it? He says he's wiped away all their tears. That's what it says. And there will be no more death. So they don't know anything about death. They don't even know they died. Because nobody dies. How many times have we said that? And here we go around wailing and carrying on and crying because somebody died. Are we believing what we hear? Are we seeing the double talk and all this? I mean, and I'm just saying, you know, when I was hearing it happen, I'm saying, well, everybody's been saying nobody dies. And here everybody's wailing and carrying on because somebody just died. And I'm just getting confused. So I asked the Father, I said, well, what's wrong? I sure don't know. I'm confused. And he started talking to me and teaching me some of these things. And in this realm, there's no crying. There's no pain. For the former things have passed away. Well, the former things are the history. Those are the former things. The memory. God has no memory. He only lives in the now. He doesn't know anything about yesterday, and he doesn't know anything about tomorrow, because there's no such thing. So just within our concept of time, it puts us in a realm of death and hell, where it says the eyes of man are never satisfied. So we must measure our success spiritually, not by how it looks, but how much we're satisfied. Are we satisfied today with what we have and where we're at? Even if our leg's aching. I mean, I got a hip that's acting up a little bit on me, you know, and it talks to me. It likes to talk to me and tell me, well, it's, you know, you're falling apart. And, you know, if you just lose some weight, and if you just eat less, and if you just wouldn't drink wine, and I mean, there's a list a mile long, and my knee is preaching, my hip is the one that's preaching to me. My hip is preaching to me, and I'm listening to it. I listen to it, you know. I think, oh, well, you're probably right, you know. Do you see how crazy it is? When here it says, the former things are passed away. We've taught, Martha's taught wonderfully about you have no history. Well, that's hard to believe if we got a memory. Because our memory follows you around and will always condemn you. Always write it down. Your memory will always condemn you. It will never, ever encourage you. Ever. It never is encouraging. It's never loving. Ever. Just think about it. Write it down. How many times has your memory been loving to you? It always condemns you because it's always comparing between good and evil continuously. This was good and this was evil. That was pretty good. You know, I got a diamond. I told Diane, you know, because we don't really need anything, you know. We don't, you know, I wouldn't mind, you know, if there was a puff of smoke burned up every little knickknack in the house, you know, but she would get upset about that. But I'm not a knick-knack guy, okay? We went over that before, right? He said, behold, I make all things new. Well, those all things that are new means we forget about our history and we don't trust our memory. It doesn't mean it isn't going to talk to you. And I can't get up here and say, I can promise you my hip will never preach to me again. Because it always preaches to me. When, as soon as pain goes and shoots up, the first thing I think is, boy, I wish that'd go away. And so we've lived in fear all our lives because this thing is degenerating. And we need to hang on to it loosely and realize that this isn't you. This is not who you are. It is the tabernacle of the living God, but He is the light. Your body isn't the light. He is the light. And this is not going to be sustained. This that you're looking at isn't going to be sustained. And so I need to listen to Jesus when he said, take no thought for your life or your body, for what you're going to put on or what you're going to wear or what you're going to eat. For the Father knows what you need. Well, what do you need? To escape from hell and destruction. That's what you need. That's what we need. So that we're satisfied. So that we're satisfied. And so we measure our success by the degree that we're satisfied. And if there's judgment in there, you're never going to be satisfied because you're always going to be comparing. So, all these wonderful things about where these people are. They have no memory. They don't know. Liz has no idea that she had breast cancer and that she died. And now that sounds maybe a little bit sad because you'll say, how will we recognize each other there? And I'm going to tell you how. We'll all remember the love that we had for each other. And that's how we'll recognize each other. But we won't remember anything that defiles or makes lie. We won't remember any of that. Now, I can't tell you exactly what that is here, but I just know that your affection, I love what Rex said about his wife, because he went through a situation where they were younger and his wife sort of hoodwinked him into getting married. And he finally, you know, heard from the father about it, and the father said, well, just set your affection on her. Yeah. Well, what's that? Just set your affection on her. And so I'm sure the moment he heard those words, compassion came with it that started to change a disposition of judgment, didn't it? It got rid of the judgment that was there. And compassion followed, love followed. So that's how we're going to recognize each other. And I don't know much more about what's going to happen there, but I do know what it's not. I do know that these things are not. And what's wonderful is that all that I've just described to you is right in this room at this very moment. Everything that I've just described to you, a place of peace, where there's no history, where there's no memory, where nothing that makes a lie or defiles dwells. All those things are right here in this room with us. Why is that? Because the kingdom of God dwells within you. It isn't out there. It's right here. Everything I've described about God's dwelling place is within you. He said, behold, the tabernacle of God is with man. There is no other place. That's the only place reality dwells. It's here. It's not out there. It's not down the road. Now, if I go down the road, it's with me, and it's above me, and it's around me, and it's closer to me as breathing. So I say it's in this room, but that's only because we're here. Because it's not outside of us. And if you could view eternity a little differently than we do, realizing that when we look out, it sort of gives us a picture of eternity because there's no end to the universe. But you know, if you can divide something once, you can divide it eternally. That there's another universe that goes eternally the other direction. Isn't that something? That's just a law of science. Mm-hmm. If you can divide something, it can be divided forever. There's always something left to cut in half. Mm-hmm. Forever. Now, it's going to get smaller and smaller and smaller, but when you look at the world of just microorganisms, when I say eternity dwells within us, I'm trying to help you understand that it's not vast. It doesn't have anything to do with size. It's spirit. And so that same spirit where all of this dwells is already within you, and it's the thing that's going to carry you into the next realm. So you already have everything for life and godliness dwelling in you. That's never going to change. That is your card, your lottery ticket, your get-out-of-jail-free card. You already have it. So, the habitation of God is in man. Ephesians 2:22, it says, in whom also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. So it comes by our spiritual understanding. It doesn't come from anything we do. But as dwellers on this world of appearances, it's difficult to see that because everything around us sends the opposite message to us. As soon as you open your eyes, we begin to judge. And so when we see that, we can now listen to what it's saying to us and say, I'm going to set my affections on this, or I'm going to set my affections on that. And that teaches us. It's not a decision we make. We just follow our own love. We just begin to follow our own affection. And it comes to us and teaches us. by the Spirit, not by any work we've done. So, and I've said this before, but if any of you, I'm sure you guys all remember the old Ragu commercials with the spaghetti sauce. And the old Italian lady was sitting and her young little spry son was over. Mama, what you cooking? You know, what are you using? That's spaghetti sauce. He comes over, that's a good. And she says, yes, it's all in there. Everything's in there. Like, you know, nobody's ever heard of spaghetti sauce in a can then, you know. There was no such thing. People made everything, like Liz does, right? Well, that's who we are. Everything that we need for life and godliness already dwells within us. So why are we asking for something more? This was the case of Abraham. We can't go anywhere. Because wherever you go, you're taking everything with you. That's why Lanyon kept saying that. I'm not going anywhere. And so why are we talking about death when we never die? Why would we fear that? Because even if something happens that causes a little temporary pain or whatever, we're never going to remember it. We're never going to know that. It doesn't say you're going to know pain for the rest of your days. It says there'll be no more pain. So when does that begin? When our right understanding gets in front of us, when that affection gets in front of us and leads us. That's when it begins. And so we've all been given the full reward. We've all been paid the same thing. Doesn't matter what we do. That's what the parable's about. Has nothing to do with what you do. So stop judging yourself and let's stop judging the world. And let's quit thinking that activity in this world has anything to do with spiritual life. It's just condemnation. It's judgment and it's arrogance. It has nothing to do with your get out of jail free card. We all got the same thing. And God is not a respecter of persons. So you can't listen to more messages and become more spiritual. You already got it all. Now, you certainly can understand it more, but you don't get any more. So I guess we can call that a process. But the prize is the prize, right? That was why the parable was there. For what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Well, what's an idol? It's something that we long for. That's opposite of who we are. It's anything we desire or long for that we don't have. That's an idol. For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. For what know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God? So here it is over and over again. So what is the kingdom of God? We talked about it before. It is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. It already is all these things. So you can't get more of what already is. We just need to learn to know the difference between flesh and spirit. And flesh always trying to get something. Spirit realizes it's already got everything. Those are, put them up on your refrigerator, you know. And sometimes if we've got to nudge each other a little bit, you know, maybe that's good. Right? Say, well, are you satisfied today? You know, because there's so many times, and, you know, I sympathize with my brother Rex because I was in the construction industry almost 30 years, and it's tough. You know, it's a tough business, and it's pretty litigious. But I used to think all that stuff was my fault. And it wasn't anybody's fault. It's just part of the nature of being in that industry. To think you're going to make more money and be more successful than your neighbor. Is it loving your neighbor? Is it? That's not loving your neighbor. Well, bless God, you know, I know a little more about God, so I'm going to make more money than you. I'm going to have less problems. And I won't get sick as much. Oh my gosh, what judgment. That judges everybody in the room when you say that. It judges everybody but you. Well, I know more, so this doesn't happen to me. That's craziness. That's not loving you, if I were to say that. Then it's just foolishness. So we begin to withdraw from a realm. We begin to withdraw from a realm of knowledge-based judgment that attempts to bring harmony into a world of appearances that is constantly changing. I'm going to say that again, okay? We begin to withdraw from a realm of knowledge. Now, what is knowledge? It's just our remembrance. It's our history. It's our memories. We begin to withdraw from this realm of knowledge based on judgment that attempts to bring harmony into a world of appearances that's constantly changing. Now, it's probably going to be hard to remember, but that's what's happening when we're not satisfied, when we're uncomfortable, is that we're trying to bring harmony into disharmony by changing something, and it's never going to work. It'll never work. So Jesus addressed this real clearly when he said, judge not according to appearances, but judge righteous judgment. Ye judge after the flesh, I judge no man. So here we need to know the difference between judging according to the appearance, which is when we try to bring harmony into this world, and righteous judgment. So we need to know the difference between judging according to the appearances, when we try to bring harmony into this world, and righteous judgment, because there's never going to be harmony in this world. Ever. Ever. It won't ever happen. So don't condemn yourself if you find yourself in these places. Just stop judging yourself and others if you see them, if you see these areas where you're trying to bring harmony into an inharmonious situation. And I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying this doesn't happen to me, because when I go into work, things happen all the time. We lost a huge job a couple weeks ago. Huge. Just ginormous job with Procter & Gamble, because a company came in that was selling 100% Chinese goods and saying they were American made, and they undercut us by quite a bit. And the controller for this huge company didn't care, because they told him they were American made. He said, well, they say they're American made. How do you know they're not? And also told him it was the same thing. And our product is actually 30% more efficient, and he would have gotten back the difference in 5 years and then made money for another 15. And he still could only see what was in front of him. He couldn't see any more than that. And so we didn't get the job. And it was almost $1 million job. So that's pretty big. Well, of course, when that first happened, I thought, well, what's wrong with me? I better go pop a tape in. Right? I probably haven't been listening to Tony enough this week. You know, I'm serious. And that's just foolishness. And so, when we look out into this world and judge this world, it looks like this, if we're judging it. It looks all like this, right? And over here, boy, it's not going good. Oh, that's not so bad. I feel a little better today. And, you know, and my Prozac's working. And I took an Advil. And I'm not feeling so bad today. And I got a check in the mail, you know, for a couple $1,000. And, you know, things are looking good today. And then the next week, you know, why Uncle Joe calls up and his wife's dying of cancer. Oh, it's not so good today, you know. And when are we going to quit following all this stuff? Right? Because that's what's happening, guys. So when this first happened last week, I thought the same thing for about, I don't know, a day and a half, 2 days. Well, you want to know what that's called? Hello. Hell and destruction. Hell and destruction. Because I wasn't satisfied. Hello. That's what it's called. So to think you never go there is another lie. Because I went there just about as fast as I did the first time I ever figured it out. It just didn't last as long this time. You know, there's one. Sometimes I was there for a year. And before that, I was there for 20 years. And I didn't know it. So now I'm starting to see it a little more clearly, right? So at least I know. So now when I go there, I raise my hand, I say I went there. Well, back when we were doing the seminars, I went straight to generator hell. You know, and that lasted a week. And that was not fun. I'm just telling you. And so I don't want to defend it. I don't want to defend it. And sticking a tape in didn't help it either. I had to know within myself that I was in a place of hell and destruction. Because I wasn't satisfied. I had to know that myself. A tape doesn't fix that. I had to feel it. I'd say, well, there's something's not right here, and it's my own understanding. You know, it's my own understanding. So now, guess what's happening? It all gave us a nice kick in the butt in the commercial sales department because we were just all sort of relaxing, watching all these jobs roll in. You know, we got a little comfortable, right? They would just take orders now. You know, we didn't have to sell anything. So it got us all excited. And how's that doing there? It got us all excited, and we decided to change our programs. What's it say on the minutes? What does it say?
It's 107 minutes.
Okay. Good. We're okay then. Good. We're about done. So, Tuesday night I'm flying out, and we're meeting with Menards to put lights in all their stores. Every store in the country. It's 4 times bigger than the job that we lost last week. So now I can't see all of that. I don't have a 50,000 foot view that can look into the future, because even if I got up there, I couldn't see it. Right? So this is what I'm talking about. How would you like to live here instead of here? You know, where the path is straight, right? And the only way the path's going to be straight if I quit judging by what activity goes on out in this world. And quit following it around like a hound dog that has a name for a week. You know?
Preach it to me, brother.
Huh?
Preach it to
me. Well, I'm preaching to me. Because that's what we do. And we do it, you know, sometimes it's not as subtle. You know, but that's what we do. So just raise your hand. You don't have to do it to me.
Yeah.
But just confess to yourself. You know, this isn't, you don't walk the aisles here. We don't do that here. You know, we don't believe in that stuff.
We don't have stuff in our life.
Okay, there's a good example, right? So, we need to know the difference between judging according to the appearances when we try to bring harmony into this world and righteous judgment. Does that make more sense now? That's what we need. We need to know the difference. It doesn't change who we are. Just we need to know the difference. So don't condemn yourself and don't condemn your neighbor. Don't blame the guy that didn't buy your stuff. You know, there'll be more. My dear friends, do not be surprised if a painful test you are suffering as though something unusual were happening to you. That's the Good News Translation. We all know what the King James says. Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised. Because it's that surprise that causes us to judge. So don't be surprised. There's nothing wrong with you. But the only way you're going to know that there's nothing wrong with you is to see nothing wrong with your neighbor. That's the only way you're going to know it. So if we're looking out there trying to figure out who to point a finger at, you're never going to find anybody. Because of the, excuse me, in a spiritual realm, you can't ever point this way. It's always like this. You could go that way as long as you want, but your finger's curled. You just can't see it. That's in the spiritual realm. That's what it's doing. We can't ever send anything out and fix anything because there's nothing out there to fix. There's nothing to fix out there. We keep wanting to fix it. Why? Because we're trying to get this level in our own understanding, and it's never going to be level. It won't ever be level. So my kingdom is not of this world. This world isn't going to, we're not going to see a picture of this kingdom realm I'm talking about out here. He says, my kingdom's not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight and scratch, sneeze and cough and try to get stuff, you know, but they're not doing that. I added a little few words in there. My kingdom's not from that place, he says. My kingdom's not from hence, what I just said. It's not from this world. So stop trying to bring harmony into this world. Just stop it. And realize there's already harmony dwelling within you. And it has to flow out to the world. You can't bring it in this way, you know. It's got to flow out through our right understanding, through knowing. So our prayers to bring change into this world avails absolutely nothing. I remember we used to pray for the cities and pray for the municipalities and pray for the state, for the officials and for the government and for the president and for the this and this and that, you know, and we're hoping they're all going to get religion. You know, that's what we were hoping, you know. One nation under God, right? Yeah, I know it's going to happen, right? It's never going to happen. It's never going to happen.
That's
right. So stop praying for it. If you're seeing anything out there that looks righteous, I'm telling you, you're deceived. And you're living in darkness. And you're double-minded. Because if you're seeing something out there that's righteous, then you're also seeing something that's unrighteous. And you're comparing. And we can't do that. We can't see either one. What we see is what dwells within us. And it says we are the light of the world. So we're a light unto the world. We bring light into the world, which is a realm of non-judgment. A realm of non-judgment. So, we need to learn what righteous judgment is. Awake unto righteousness and sin not, it says. For some have not the knowledge of God. And in this realm where God dwells, this knowledge of God, nothing is out of order. Nothing. And we're seeing things out of order a lot. And believe me, don't judge yourself for it. Just recognize it. Just recognize it. And if we're still, it too will pass. And someday we won't have any memory. So what's the difference between where we're at now and where those that have gone before us? Their memories have been erased. Their history's gone. So that's a huge clue, isn't it? Of what we should be sniffing. If you want to sniff something, sniff that. Right? If you want to eat something, eat that. Chew on that a little bit. Chew your memory up. Write your history all down and crumple it up and read it. So awake unto righteousness and sin not. And it says, because we don't know God. We just don't know Him. And He has said, He will judge the world in righteousness. And He will minister judgment to the people in uprightness. He judges the world in righteousness. Isn't that beautiful? Remember when that came to us in October, Jocelyn, last year? He's already said, everybody's one. He's already said, I am your reward. He's already said, I'm your Savior. He's already said, you're going to win. It's already done. So we don't need to evangelize anyone. Now, if we could help them wake up out of the dream, that'd be good. But they're going to all wake up. And God has already seen them awakened to righteousness. Where He's at right now, He sees everyone in. Isn't that something?
Yes.
Now, when you look at it that way, there's no judgment. He sees everybody the way Jesus said about the kingdom of heaven is like unto an hired servant. Where He went out and paid him to work all day and gave him some, and He went out and gave the guy half a day and He gave him some, and He went out at the end and gave the guy for an hour and He gave him all the same reward. So obviously the parable is, it doesn't matter how long it takes or what you do, we're all winners. We've all already inherited the kingdom of God. We just have to wake up to it and withdraw from this judgment of time and space, of matter, of circumstances, of saying things are out of order. That's all. So, it may, you know, maybe we start a school where we put blinders on and plug our ears and we get fed, you know, vegetables and stuff for a month, and we just sit around and meditate just to get a jump start and not judging something. I mean, it might not be a bad idea, you know. People need to volunteer, you know, of course. We couldn't kidnap them and take them out and do it, but it doesn't sound like too bad of an idea to me. I might like that even. But if we withdraw from the judgment of all of it, even when we come home, and the day, thank you, God, that whatever happened today doesn't change who I am or who you are. I thank you for that. It was a little tough today. It was tough when we lost this big job to a really well-known company. We really wanted that publicity. But they weren't even close to this giant that was waiting for me over here. And if I could see it all at once, I'd be content, wouldn't I?
Yeah.
Wouldn't I? But what am I looking at? I'm looking at this moment in time, and I'm looking at that moment in time, and I'm looking at that moment in time. And so, and then my life follows it. And this is what it looks like. And that's not living, is it? God said, I'm the beginning and the end all wrapped into one, and I dwell in you, and you're going to win. Even unto what looks like us to be death. Even in that, we're winners. And I'm going to tell you why. There's a beautiful little story that tells us why. So remind me to say it, and I'll close with it. But I'll read two more verses to you that say the exact same thing that I just said. Before the Lord, He came to judge the earth. Oh, everybody's nervous. Look out. Here comes the rod. Here comes the hickory stick. My dad used to whip me with a hickory stick. Not very often, just every day. I probably needed it two or three times a day because I was always into stuff. And I was into stuff I shouldn't have been into from when I was 5 years old. Now, you probably can't imagine that, but that's what I was told. And I remember it. I remember it. We were always into something that we shouldn't have been into. We just couldn't resist. We grew up in the campgrounds, and there was 50 little cottages. And I had to get in every one of them and snoop around. Now, we didn't steal nothing, but I just wanted to know the layout. Check out the couch, you know, and we'd sit around the table and play, what was those games you used to play? It wasn't like Rook. What was it called? Old Hen or Old Maid. We used to play Old Maid because my mom was a UB and you couldn't play cards. So we didn't have no cards in the house, but we had Old Maid. So we'd sit around and play Old Maid in somebody else's cottage, you know, because they were only there in the summer. Every once in a while, they'd leave a little pack of cookies. And so we'd eat those. So I did steal cookies. That's about it. So I'm a thief. I was a thief, you know. And I'd break in and entering, you know. We'd get in these little cottages, you know. And we never went to jail or got arrested, but everybody knew it was us. So my dad followed me around and repaired a little broken window or something that somehow a ball got wet through, but we were never playing ball. And just followed us around, you know, all this. And, of course, every time he found it, I'd get the stick because I was the oldest, you know, and all the rest of them were following me. But they followed me. So I was up to no good. But God doesn't judge me for that. Thank you, God, for that. He doesn't judge me. He judges righteous judgment. But we've never known that. We have no idea what that is. Because our fathers even never taught us that. But he judges righteous judgment. So the Lord cometh to judge the earth doesn't mean you need to cower and hide from the hickory stick. Because he says, I've come to judge the earth in righteousness. He shall judge the earth, but he will judge the people with equity. Isn't that beautiful? Equity. I'm going to judge you with equity. You're very valuable. That's righteous judgment. You're of high regard. So high regard that I'm going to declare that you were holy before you were born. That's what righteous judgment is. I have declared it, says the Lord. There's no other God but me. Why have you been praying to gods who can't save you? Why? Why have we been doing that? Why are we asking God for something? Because he's not listening. If we're out there asking God for something, we're praying to the God of this world. It's not the true God, guys. God doesn't give anybody anything. He says, I am your reward. I am your fortress. I am the strong tower. I'm the house. I'm everything you need for life and godliness. So can we just shut up and quit asking him for more? Abraham couldn't do it, and we haven't done it. But we can start to hear and start to be satisfied and know the shepherd that leads us beside still waters so that we don't want anything anymore. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Well, what Lord have we been worshiping? Which Lord have we been worshiping? It hasn't been the right one. It's not that shepherd. Because we're always asking for stuff. And we're asking for healing. And we're asking for money. And we're asking him to bless a world that's in darkness. And something that's in darkness can't be blessed. There's no blessing there. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. So when God makes a declaration, it's a right one. It's one of loving kindness. It's one that sees you with equity. It's one that gives you grace before you ask. And so these are the things that he says, before you ask, I will answer. That's what it means right there, right? You're coming and asking me for a piece of bread, and I want to give you life eternal. He says, in all these things do the nations seek, but it's already yours. Not for the asking. It's already yours. I am your reward, not I will be in the future. I already am your Savior, not I'm going to be your Savior. You already are righteous. It's not that you're going to be righteous when your body disappears. You already are all these things. It already is now. And so as we learn to withdraw in to a changeless reality, life begins to flow then. And we don't judge ourselves if life isn't flowing, but we remember the difference. We begin to see the differences. Look unto me, look unto all the things I've told you tonight, and be ye saved. Be saved from the turmoil in your mind, because that's the only place hell exists. Just be saved from that. All the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is no other. There is no other. There's no other reward. There's nothing more you can get. Now, I told you I was going to finish with the story, and now I've forgotten what it was. Can anybody give me a key word on what that was? Does anybody remember? I've forgotten it. I should have said it then, shouldn't I? Huh? So why don't we just be still for a little while, and maybe it will come back. Maybe it won't. If it won't, it'll come tomorrow. Okay? So thank you, Father, for your word, for your understanding. Thank you that you are our shepherd right now.